Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
She was a pretty, good-looking young girl, and she kissed me in such a way. But to get anything, she said, show me the ring, the way they did in those days. Well, I never thought too much about it, if I was the marrying kind. But any young man worth his salt or a damn has other things on his mind. Oh, get ready, Marie. Get ready, Marie. Get ready for dreams to come true. Get ready, Marie. Get ready for me. There's so many things.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 520. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I am Deb Pierce, the one and only.
You are the one and only lesbian Canadian.
Oh, my God. I am the only lesbian Canadian, and look at me on your show. Can you believe it? How lucky for you.
Welcome back, Deb Pierce. I feel like we have not spoken with you, our sister to the north, in quite a while.
It has been too long. It has been too long. Listen, you have a baby, and what? What happens? What happens with my time?
I don't know. I don't know what happens. I've never had a baby, but why don't you tell us? How is life in motherhood land?
I'll tell you, it couldn't be better. Every time I think I couldn't fall farther in love with him, I do.
And aww.
He's growing way too quickly. He'll be 17 months soon, and I am so not ready for him to be as big as he is that I want to have another baby, but I can't read the writing on the baby's Tylenol bottle as it is, so I'm thinking that's a gauge to maybe not have another.
So tell me, do you have a lot of other, like, gay parents that you know, hang out with and swap stories and get some experience and help from, gay and straight lesbian couples? I mean,
well,
gay,
I don't,
and male
actually.
And female gay and lesbian couples.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you.
No, not really. I hung out with more gay parents before I had the baby.
Oh, yeah?
And now we just, if there is any, play dates or anything, it's usually with relatives and our nieces and nephews. And I socialize in the morning at 8, between 8:21 and 8:27 when I drop him off at daycare. And then I socialize with other parents between 4:21 and 4:27 when I pick him up.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of him knowing that he's not the only person with two moms or two dads because he doesn't get that yet.
Mm-hmm.
He has no concept of that at all. And we've been going by, we wanted it to be, I was going to be mommy and my wife was going to be mama.
Mm-hmm.
But so far she's mama and I am just yelled at by going, don't. So I'm not sure where that came from, but apparently I'm Dodo, or so it seems for now.
I like Doe.
I don't mind that at all. I'm the one that gets him in his crib every morning, and he practices his talking, and he's kind of working on, you know, certain words, and then he starts to scream the do-do-do out, and I appear. So I think there's the reference there.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you really, I think us gays, we really think about, we're fashion conscious about our kids.
Oh, my God.
Whether it's the colors, like, we don't necessarily think boys that were blue and girls that were pink or, you know, tell me, like, how you manage the fashion of your child.
firstly, he's the only one under this roof that has new clothes, if I can just say that for now. I'm still working jeans that I probably saw you in when we introduced Lady Gaga together before she was Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Which barely fits. And so he is a really spiffy dresser. His signature look now is with a hat. Mm-hmm. He likes a tam or a toque, and he'll put that on with just a diaper. Mm-hmm. Or just his Superman boots, which mm-hmm. are always a hit with nothing else on. So he likes to go minimally, but he wears little Levi's, little designer jeans. On International Day of Pink, Day of Diversity, he wore a pink plaid shirt. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but he also, you know, he has the shirts with the rock star symbols on them. It's really tough to avoid the very gendered pink for girls, blue for boys thing for girls, mm-hmm. But it's significantly easier for boys. They're just a little more progressive, interestingly enough, with being more colored, but everything for girls is pink and purple.
Yeah, well, the diversity will narrow as the male ages, right? If he has a lot of options right now,
yeah,
the window gets narrower and narrower, as most of my gay men are always so jealous of, like, all the different dresses and skirts, or we can wear pants, or we can wear, you know, short shorts, or I don't know. Sometimes the guys don't feel as comfortable or like they have as many fashion options as they age. So
right.
I think it's just the inverse, right? When you're
Yeah, it is for now.
When you're little bitty. So do you feel like you still have your big gay life? I mean, or are you feeling like a mom and you're like, I'm never going to know any adults anymore?
I just want to watch porn again. that actually happens in my own time. I still do emceeing gigs once every couple of weeks, so I get my fill. In fact, I did a huge event networking for World Pride coming up, which we can tap into. But I did look around the room. It was the real first outing I'd been at a number of months ago since the baby and starting, you know, into a new job or whatever. So I just looked around the room and I tried to make eye contact with every single person, about 300 people. And I said, that was as close as to an orgy as I've been since I became a mother. Thank you all so much. Because I don't get out like I used to, but it just changes a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to be the person that I was before the baby, and I don't want to be the person that I was again before I was married and before, you know what I mean? It's just exactly where I'm supposed to be now.
Yeah. 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 Well, we have loved growing up with you, Deb Pierce.
Listen, from revolving doors to changing diapers. Do you know what I'm saying? My bedroom used to be a revolving door. Now it's just full of shitty diapers.
Aww, and it probably was before too. But
it might have been
metaphorically. hey, we are so excited to have you with us because you do have your finger on the pulse of all things Toronto and all things happening in the north of North America. And so Deb Pierce is going to be on the show with me. We're going to hear her lovely little Canadian accent the whole podcast. So we've got lots of GLBT news, things happening around the world. It's just opening up, walls coming down. We are advancing, folks, in our GLBT rights and privileges and our voices, and it's exciting. I'm so excited by the news every week these days, and also what's going on in the theater world, because that's just super exciting in Chicago always. So I'm back with Deb Pierce on today's Queercast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
Rhode Island, Mitchell Fain's special home, is now the 10th state that allows same-sex marriage. The State House approved a marriage bill 56-15, and Governor Lincoln Chafee signed the bill into law an hour later. The first marriages will take place August 1st when the new law takes effect.
The Mormon Church, which has historically opposed same-sex marriage, said that it supported the Boy Scouts of America's recently proposed rule change that no youth may be denied membership in the Boy Scouts of America on the basis of sexual orientation or preference alone. The new policy, which officials said would be voted upon at a May meeting for enactment in 2014, still bans openly gay leaders, a move that infuriated some activists who said it implied gays were likely to be child molesters.
Reacting to a wave of criticism, the president of San Francisco's annual Gay Pride celebration said that Bradley Manning, the U.S. Army private charged in a massive leak of U.S. secrets to the WikiLeaks website, will not be an honorary grand marshal after all. Manning is in custody at a military prison in Kansas while he awaits court-martial and would have been unable to attend the June 30th parade.
In Chicago, an anti-gay marriage march held in the Logan Square neighborhood turned tense as demonstrators from opposite sides of the issue came face-to-face in the street April 27th. More than 200 anti-gay protesters assembled at Palmer Square Park to rally against equal marriage. A counter-protest of approximately 100 LGBT people and allies arrived to greet them. The two sides shouted each other down in the park before marching south to Humboldt Park in an ongoing confrontation that fluctuated between friendly and explosive.
Carla Hale, the Ohio high school physical education teacher, fighting her dismissal because the name of her lesbian partner appeared in Hale's mother's obituary, lost a request to be reinstated. Hale, who taught at Columbus's Bishop Watterson High School, has garnered plenty of support, including an online petition with more than 60,000 signatures.
Mariela Castro, daughter of Cuban President Raul Castro, received the go-ahead to attend the Equality Forum conference in Philadelphia, where she will receive an award. The State Department had previously refused Mariela entry, citing a rule that bars Cuban diplomats from traveling more than 25 miles from central Manhattan. Mariela Castro, the niece of retired leader Fidel Castro and director of Cuba's National Center for Sex Education, is to speak at a panel on May 4th.
The Employment Non-Discrimination Act was reintroduced in the U.S. Senate on April 25th. A joint statement from the ACLU, Lambda Legal, the National Center for Lesbian Rights and Transgender Law Center, reflected a mixed reaction to the development because of a religious exemption in the new bill.
On the same day, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act was reintroduced in Congress. Oregon Elementary School Principal Tom Klansnick said goodbye to his students after the district declined to renew his contract, allegedly because the educator revealed he is gay. Klansnick had been the principal of North Gresham Elementary School in Gresham, Oregon for 10 years. Klansnick contends that the school's decision not to rehire him is related to the principal's divorce from his wife 3 years ago, after which he publicly came out as gay.
U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Harry Pregerson recently ruled that Oregon's ban on gay marriage violates the U.S. Constitution. In 2004, voters approved Measure 36, which amended the Oregon Constitution to define marriage as a heterosexual union. Pregerson ruled the Federal Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional.
Meanwhile, outside Oregon, Idaho GOP politician Walter Speed has been censured by members of his party for voting in support of an anti-discrimination law through his job as a city council member. Members of the party voted 7-6 to censure Speed for voting in favor of a law that would make it a misdemeanor offense to discriminate against people based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. The city council unanimously passed the law April 1st.
In Ohio, a body found in a pond near Cleveland was identified as that of a transgender woman who was reported missing a month ago. Simia Akoff, 20, had been stabbed to death, and there was a rope around her waist that was tied to a concrete block in a steel pipe.
Las Vegas drag queen Kenny Kerr, known for his over-the-top impressions of celebrities like Barbra Streisand and Cher, died at the age of 60. In 1999, Kerr became the first female impersonator to be inducted into the Tropicana's Hall of Fame.
Boeing announced that it will extend its pension value plan and BSS retirement plan to same-sex spouses and domestic partners as beneficiaries for pension survivor benefits.
In world news, Icelandic Prime Minister Jóhanna Sigurðardóttir retired from politics ahead of general elections. Sigurðardóttir became the world's first openly gay or lesbian head of state in February 2009 when she was appointed Prime Minister of Iceland. Same-sex marriage was legalized in Iceland the following June, and the Prime Minister became one of the first to utilize the new law, marrying her long-term partner.
Spain's first openly lesbian politician, Ángeles Álvarez, has asked closeted members of government to come out of the closet. Álvarez, who was speaking at an event held by a Spanish LGBT rights group, also asked closeted members of government to lend further support to young gay individuals and to move along LGBT-friendly policies.
In South Africa, a 15-year-old boy died after being chained to his bed, beaten with planks and sticks, electrocuted, and forced to eat his own feces as part of a 3-month training course designed to make men out of boys. Wilma Byes had sent her son, Raymond, to Alex de Koker's Echo Wild Game Rangers in Johannesburg after it was recommended to her by a friend. Activists have suggested that Raymond and two other teens who died at the camp were all perceived as gay and clearly offended, and that de Koker's methods had gay reparative undertones.
International gay dating brand Gaydar just launched its new mobile web service. Gaydar has faced stiff competition from location-based dating apps like Grindr in recent years. Gaydar officials say its desktop version remains popular, but feels the new mobile service will suit some markets in particular.
In entertainment news, the NBA's Jason Collins made history by coming out as gay, the first time an NBA player has done so while still actively playing. Collins, a center, finished this season with the Washington Wizards and has also played for the Boston Celtics, Minnesota Timberwolves, New Jersey Nets, Atlanta Hawks, and Memphis Grizzlies. Kobe Bryant of the Los Angeles Lakers tweeted his support, and the Boston Red Sox baseball team has invited Collins to throw out the first pitch in an upcoming game at Fenway Park.
The Normal Heart has added out actor Jonathan Groff and Joe Mantello to its cast. The actors join Julia Roberts, Mark Ruffalo, Matt Boomer, Jim Parsons, and Taylor Kitsch in Ryan Murphy's adaptation of the Tony-winning play. Normal Heart, which is being adapted for HBO, centers on the HIV/AIDS epidemic in New York City in the early 1980s.
Pussy Riot's Nadezhda Tolokonikova was denied parole from a penal colony where she is serving a 2-year sentence on charges of hooliganism motivated by religious hatred. Tolokonikova was arrested in March 2012, along with two other members of the band for their protest against Vladimir Putin in Moscow's main cathedral, had been eligible for early release after serving half of her sentence.
Actor Tuck Watkins from One Life to Live and Desperate Housewives has come out of the closet. Watkins came out on Marie Osmond's talk show on the Hallmark Channel. Watkins played a gay man on Desperate Housewives.
25 years after his untimely death, the legacy of out singer Sylvester, the so-called Queen of Disco, will be resurrected with Mighty Reel Greatest Dance Hits due out June 25th on Fantasy Records. This 11-track release will be available on CD and on double pink vinyl. A portion of the proceeds from sales will go to the AIDS Emergency Fund and Project Open Hand.
The musical Kinky Boots, with a book by Harvey Fierstein and a score by first-time Broadway composer Cyndi Lauper, earned 13 Tony nominations. The British import Matilda was runner-up with 12, and the revivals of Pippin 10 and Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella 9. The Tony Awards will be presented at Radio City Music Hall on June 9th. Some big snubs are Bette Midler for her role as Sue Mengers in I'll Eat You Last, Fiona Shaw for The Testament of Mary, and out actor Alan Cumming for Macbeth.
A new Hall of Fame, the first of its kind in the United States, has been established to honor individuals and organizations who have enhanced the field of sports and athletics for the LGBT community. The National Gay and Lesbian Sports Hall of Fame, a 501c3 organization based in Chicago, will recognize those who have stood up to stereotypes and work to break down the walls of differences to bring people together for the good of the games. The organization expects to accept its first round of nominations this summer and induct its first honorees at a ceremony on August 2nd. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Only my eyes are the same.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 6th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Air hostess Pam Ann returns to the USA in her hilarious new one-woman show, Cockpit. One night only, May 24th at Harris Theater, mixing camp, humor, and glamour. Pam Ann has performances as well in New York, Miami, Dallas, and Los Angeles. For tickets to Pam Ann Cockpit, visit reactionshows.com. Buckle up, bitches.
America's health and wellness guru, Jillian Michaels, comes to the Auditorium Theater one day only, Friday, May 10th at 8 o'clock, live on stage with her Maximize Your Life tour. No hype, no false promises, just results. For tickets to Jillian Michaels, visit auditoriumtheater.org. VIP tickets are available.
The Pope of Trash is back. John Waters returns to the Harris Theater with This Filthy World on May 21st. To attend the performance and meet John Waters at the exclusive post-show benefit reception, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
The Tenors come to the Auditorium Theater Sunday, May 12th at 7 o'clock for a special Mother's Day performance of classical music and contemporary pop. From Elton John to Puccini to Bob Dylan, don't miss the Tenors in Chicago for one night only. For tickets to the Tenors, visit auditoriumtheater.org.
Steppenwolf Theater Company presents Head of Passes, a world premiere from the creative team behind the celebrated The Brother-Sister Plays. Tickets on sale now at steppenwolf.org. Head of Passes is playing now through June 9th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytime.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com. For Pride, you all know we're in the middle of the Windy City Gay Idol, and it always makes me think of my lesbian / Canadian, which is basically the same thing, according to Mitchell Fain, friend, Deb Pierce, our neighbor to the north. You know, we're having an awesome time with Windy City Gay Idol. I went to Mary's Attic, one of the clubs, the other night, and I thought of you because I got up and did a little karaoke after I had drank quite a bit of Smirnoff and Tanqueray, and was super, super fun. We're having a really gay old time, and I have been thinking back to 2008, 2009 when you were with us, and Lady Gaga appeared at our big finals, and this year is really shaping up to be great. We're going to have some great announcements here in the next couple of weeks as to guest performers and guest judges and the whole nine yards. But it's Pride, you know, it's what it signifies for me as we start barreling and seeing the end of Gay Idol is that we're on top of Gay Pride. And I just know that Toronto serves up a pretty great Pride celebration every year. Are you excited about Pride this year?
I totally am excited. This is the last Toronto Pride before World Pride. It's happening at the same time. So, of course, Toronto Pride happens the last week in June every year. So this the theme is super queer. Not sure if I like the slogan or not, but I didn't come up with it. So whatever. I'm going to try not to judge because, well, as gays, we like to judge.
Yep.
But I'm trying not to. So it's super queer this year, June 21st to 30th. And then June 20th to 29th of 2014 is World Pride. And that's going to be Toronto Pride times a million because it's just going to be so much further reaching. Like, we have amazing, amazing people coming from all over the world to celebrate Toronto Pride on a good day. And I'll tell you, for World Pride, we're going to serve up even more, and we're going to have much more diversity. People are already booking their hotel rooms.
Yeah, I got to get my hotel room. So tell me, like, you all celebrate Pride in a way that those of us listening in Chicago, and if you're listening in New York or San Francisco or Berlin or wherever you're listening to the podcast from, around the world. Normally, Chicago always just has a big one Pride weekend, but this is the first year we actually have two weekends with the week in between, which Toronto's always done.
Yes, we have Pride Week. That's right.
You have Pride Week. So are there certain annual things that happen throughout that week that you can look forward to just for Toronto Pride that you look forward to every year and that people can be a part of?
I do. There's the opening ceremonies for one thing. We have people at City Hall raising the Pride flag, which has always been historically an amazing event. In the last couple of years when we have this buffoon, Rob Ford, as our mayor, he doesn't attend. So it kind of gets us digging into our roots of politicism and activism and saying, hey, wait a minute, why in this, you know, leading city in this leading country for gay rights, do we have a mayor that doesn't show up? So the beginning ceremony is always really exciting, and then throughout the week there's different events. The 519 Community Center. There's an outdoor, what they call a green space party that they have celebrity bartenders, and I use that word in air quotes because they've asked me to do it the last 6 years. And me and, you know, people like Steven and Chris, who are on a home decorating show here, shocking that they're gay in Canada. And then the Friday night starts to amp up to the street being closed until early Monday morning. And then the stages get set up. So the build-up to watch the people filling in from all over the world, as well as the stages being built up and the balconies in the area getting decorated and all of the patios being decorated is great. And then Saturday is the annual Dyke March, which inevitably is always fantastic and fairly topless. And then there's Trans Pride, which is newer. And then, of course, everything culminating for the Gay Pride Parade on the Sunday, which I guess brings in about 1 million people into the city throughout that weekend.
Wow. So now you said you're going to be a celebrity. They ask you always to be a celebrity guest bartender. Do you have a drink that you feel very proud about or that you enjoy making during Pride?
I wish it was something other than thanks for your ticket and turn around and me going, hey, Joe, I need a Smirnoff Ice. There's really no mixed drinks. It is tons of people there. Everything is huge. So there are no mixed drinks at this particular event. But if I had my druthers, I would enjoy making something in the way that involves tequila and orange juice and cranberry juice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We've got a partner in Don Julio. See, that might be fun. A little Don Julio with cranberry and orange juice. I don't know that I've ever had that. Does that have a name?
It makes me flash my boobs. We'll call it the boob flasher.
The boob flasher. I like that. I was going to ask if it was like Sex on the Beach or one of those things. I don't know what those things are.
Okay, sure, whatever.
I like boob flasher a lot better.
Yeah.
It's the BF. The big BF.
Yeah, that's right.
The boob flasher. I like it. So is there's an actual parade, though. You have a parade, but you also have stages where there are performances and events and stuff on Saturday and Sunday.
We sure do. We've got clean and sober areas. We've got Fruit Loops, which is for the younger queer, amazing up-and-comers. We've got things, of course, outside of the gayborhood, which is generally the Church Wellesley area. Happening, any of the cooler bars in the city will put on some sort of Pride event. And there's people in the artsy communities that don't want to come into the gayborhoods. They're too cool for that, so they'll want to stay in their own neighborhood, and their bars will do something. And then the street fair, there's tons of vendors on Saturday and Sunday, so you can buy everything from unlearned T-shirts to tickets to Gay Day happening August 17th here at Canada's Wonderland.
Oh, so that's like a gay Disney World or gay Six Flags here in the
exactly.
States.
Yes, to which I'm the co-chair this year. I've been hosting it for years, and I had a few concerns about it not being as far-reaching as it could be, so I figured I might as well not complain about it. I might as well get on the board. So I'm the co-chair of that this year.
Good.
And we've got Lucas Silvera of The Pix performing.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we just had Lucas. We had him on the show.
Aw, he's been a really, really good friend of mine for many years, and I wish him nothing but greatness on his new album. He's just, you know, he's an artist who, through all diversity, and I don't know how much he talked about, you know, going on tea and all that stuff, but he's really stuck to exactly who he is. And I said to him over text messaging, it's interesting, this week I said, listen, your integrity is not being compromised because you will not allow yourself to bow down to anything. And I said, and if making a living at music was easy, a lot more people would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so yeah, so he's one of, that was a big reveal. I actually haven't even said that to anybody in Canada yet. So, so that was what we call an exclusive.
I like an exclusive. I like
it. Yeah. Oh, my God. We should make a sound effect with that. Exclusive.
We're so queer. We're super queer. Just like
we are. Oh, my God. Do you like it? Do you like super queer? Tell me what you think.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that's a super heroine, and I think she's somewhere between Oh Mighty Isis, Wonder Woman, and Robin as Batman's sidekick. That would be make me very happy.
Okay. So you don't hate it?
I don't know. I don't hate it because it's Toronto, and I love all things that you all do up there.
Yeah, listen, you know what? And we took the word queer back years ago. People, my straight-identified friends, will hear me use the term queer to define myself. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, what? What did you say? What did you call yourself? I'm like, listen, sticks and stones will break. Listen, we took that word back years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it's an easier word. Obviously, we're on the queer cast. It's an easier word with all the... You know, LBGT, LMNOPQA, XY.
LGBTQIA2QQSA.
Yeah.
Now.
A better woman than I am. I can't do that. I feel like my mouth just can say LGBT or GLBT easier than it says Amy Matheny, honestly, because I've had to say it so many times.
That's true.
I would take 100 homosexuals and say they have not said that 1/10 of the amount of time that I've had to say it working in this media. So it's very funny.
It's true.
So I like the word queer. It's helpful.
It is. You know what? It's an umbrella term. It's all encompassing. Super queer.
It's a word of economy that I enjoy. So World Pride, as you said, is just everything that Toronto brings, bigger and better. Now, World Pride moves around the world, I assume. Wasn't it in Brazil or Spain or somewhere?
Yeah.
Spanish speaking, not too long ago. Is it every year? It can't be every year. They can't.
I don't think it is every year. I don't think the next one is until 2017.
Okay.
And we beat out, I know we beat out Stockholm, and we've had it since 2009. We knew that we were going to have it since 2009.
Okay.
So that's super exciting. And then there's this, you know, this moment where, because it was in London last, they hand over, you know, the emblem to us or whatever, and then we take it over, and then in a number of years it'll be in Spain. And so I think it'll be very interesting to have something like this in Canada, because the world will be looking at us, and hopefully our friends just south of the border like you will take from the page of all of our provinces voting Canada-wide as opposed to your state-by-state-by-state decision-making process or lack thereof, and just follow suit and understand that... you know, politics has no business in the bedrooms of our community, and or kitchen countertops, or wherever you choose to do it. It's so antiquated. It's just so old. It's such an old argument. Seriously, I saw a sign this week on Facebook that said, "If you're so concerned about the sanctity of marriage, why don't you start protesting divorce?" Right?
What a smart thought.
It was on, like, this, I want to say a kid because I'm 43, but an 18-year-old holding up this sign. What a smart way to look at it.
Yeah. It is. It's true. I mean, we have nothing to do with the destruction of marriage. We're trying to actually, I think, add some stabilizing foundation to more relationships in the world. And I think that that's what gay marriage is trying to do. Gay marriage is actually trying to solidify commitments and solidify unions and mature, if you think that's more mature behavior. I don't think you're only mature if you're married. But I just mean, if you want people to be more formal and more committed and more stable, then gay people are trying to move toward those same kind of stabilizing, transparent, validated and upheld relationships. And
why shouldn't we want whatever anyone else wants? It's not okay. Racism is certainly not acceptable. And I think homophobia and sizeism, if you will, fatphobia, as people call it, are the only two forms of discrimination that are fairly acceptable socially. And it's it just doesn't wash with me. And I'm not saying because I live in Canada, I walk down the street and I hold my wife's hand. There are times where I certainly don't feel comfortable doing that. And I am not in a position now as a parent to be making these political statements as frequently, especially if he's around. But I have to say that, you know, with this president, and you and I talked a lot before he came into power, and I really thought the United States and our allies thought that there would be swift changes made countrywide.
Mm. Well, I think that there have been some swift changes made countrywide. I mean,
okay.
I definitely think the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, I think the hate crimes legislation, I think Don't Ask, Don't Tell being abolished. I mean, I think that the fact that those things have happened and how many other states have on their own now have same-sex marriage or have civil unions, there has been a lot of rapid movement in the past 4 years, in addition to having a lot of other issues that have nothing to do with social issues or our community that, you know, was a part of the big quagmire,
right?
That Obama inherited after 8 years,
right,
of George W. Bush. But I think I was saying last week in the podcast that I feel like I have this anticipation of hearing the news. You know, France legalizing and New Zealand and all these countries. You know, and rightly so, we had lots of national coverage here, you know, a couple of months ago when the U.S. Supreme Court were hearing the Windsor case as well as the Prop 8 case. And
right.
You know, just the fact that everybody in the United States of America was hearing that on their news, it didn't matter what news you watch, conservative or liberal or whatever kind of news you think it is. It was, you know, in all the newspapers. It was, you know, on the 5-6 o'clock news at night and the morning news. And I just keep feeling like, okay, we're getting closer to June, you know, and that are we going to have a huge celebration? Now in Illinois, for those of us in Chicago, there's kind of two things going on because we had really huge momentum as well with the House committee and the House and the Senate committee, and now on to the Senate, same-sex marriage in the state of Illinois. So we are poised, along with Rhode Island and some others, of being, you know, next state to state. But it would all not matter if the U.S. Supreme Court would grow a pair and not feel like they need to follow where the people are, but lead the people, you know,
yep.
Which is what they did with the civil rights movement. They did not wait for, they did not wait for Americans to be ready for desegregation or those types of topics around those types of rights and freedoms and privileges for African American people or for women. You know, they didn't wait for it to be popular for women to have the vote. So.
Right, that's right. If you wait for there's always going to be differing opinions, and that I don't think either of us, either yourself or me, would say all gay people even think alike. But
no,
I don't by any stretch of the imagination. But you're right. I mean, you know, it's almost a thing that I kind of do in business is sort of, you know, act now and apologize later sort of thing instead of asking for, it's better to, what? Ask for forgiveness than pray for whatever. So I just feel, I can't even believe in 2013 we're having a conversation around whether it's okay for somebody to not let us do something. Like, are we really having that conversation?
Well, and I also think it's interesting because, you know, the climate in Toronto and in Canada was different a handful of years ago as well. You know,
yep.
There have been, when I came to Toronto for the first time and met you and hung out at Hallow Week and met all the wonderful people at Tourism Toronto and, you know, was dancing around your all's halls. I mean, Toronto and Canada in general looked like, far out in front of the curve and really leading the way. And definitely there have been some steps back with your own government, you know. And I just think that the U.S. has never been the country around anything but probably defense.
Right.
And I use that word because it's the technical word they would use, but I would say, you know, U.S. military or arms, defense. We're usually not defending ourselves at that moment, but others. But that where we would leap and then step back. And I think on social issues, we very much don't leap and then step back. I think we approach cautiously. If you look at anything from the civil rights movement to Roe v. Wade, I mean, how fast the gay rights movement has been the fastest civil rights movement, at least in the United States. And we are slow. We are trepidatious as a nation, in that diversity, that religious diversity, which has more of a echo, I guess, in the United States than it does in Canada. Obviously,
it sure does. I can't
decision making process, and I know that that's confounding for many European or for Canada or other communities, probably not as much in Latin American communities, but anywhere else, it's probably confounding. But it is just how our country has always been. And but I think it's good when we have some really, really conservative religious leaders in the United States saying, hey, we, meaning conservatives, have lost on this marriage issue, and we just need to let this thing happen now. Like, we've lost. I mean, I think they feel the inevitability of the momentum that is now happening.
Yeah.
And I think I just try to look to friends and allies within the community and say, we just have to stay steady, but it's inevitable. It's inevitable at this point. But inevitable based on its persistence of us being steady and committed and consistent in our message and consistent in our actions and consistent in upholding, asking our lawmakers to uphold why we've elected them. So, our work's not done, I guess, but I don't see us not finishing this race in a pretty timely manner here. So,
well, I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'm excited about your future. I'm excited about the future.
Yeah. Well, World Pride really gives you all an opportunity to show off your country to the world, as a real beacon of acceptance and community for LGBT people. And are there things that they're doing uniquely for World Pride? Because I guess for those of us in Chicago, the closest thing we would have would be the 2007 Gay Games, where, you know, really all these countries are coming together and meeting together in a common goal. But that's around athletics. So World Pride, what is it around?
What is the focus, you mean?
Yeah, like what is the focus around? I mean, besides just like parties or work? I mean, is it just one big ass circuit party or parade or gathering? Or what do they hope to do at these world gatherings?
Well, I think it's probably going to be a lot of, there'll be a human rights conference, which will be really important throughout the week. So hopefully the world will turn their eyes to that, and we'll hear the diversity, because we always have an international pride marshal generally coming from somewhere east of here. I know we had somebody from Africa last year, and he had, you know, he'd almost been killed, and then somebody from Jamaica the year before. So really kind of shining a light on countries that that make it unsafe for us to be. So there'll be a human rights conference. There's going to be galas and awards, and then the AIDS vigil that I told you about, it'll just be more of an international AIDS candlelight vigil. And then the Arts and Culture Festival will be more, you know, will be farther reaching. But then, because it falls on Stonewall's 45th anniversary, there's going to be a remembrance run, which we normally do the Pride and Remembrance Run, but this one's going to be the Pride and Remembrance Run Stonewall 45th anniversary. Can you believe it's been 45 years?
It is, and it's kind of crazy. I love that, you know, people outside of the U.S. really adhere to what a momentous thing Stonewall was into the history of gay rights. It's kind of cool. It's not a truly just U.S. thing to hear.
No, you definitely, if I were to hand the conch back over to you where Canada is now and where the U.S. was, I definitely bow down to the activism that occurred then on that fateful night and the events that happened leading, you know, after that. And that is why I've never been able to go to New York's Gay Pride, because we always celebrate Toronto Pride is the same weekend, because we have always done it the same as Stonewall. Yeah.
The
so very interesting.
Garland died.
Yes. Are you going to start singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow right now? Because
no.
I will sit back and put my, okay.
No, but I might do some clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
Clang, clang, clang with the bell. Really? I know we've got more than that. We'll have to sing out the end of the the end of the podcast.
No, please, let's not. I'm too tired. You know, it's really funny when you're like saying how long the movement is. I'm like, I am a child, entire child of this movement. You know, when I think
you are.
And
true.
You are, and I am, and it's. I mean, I'm younger than the movement, but not by much. So,
well, you know what's interesting is about, because certain events will make me feel a little older. Like I heard General Public's today, Tenderness, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm 16 years old, and I'm wearing jodhpurs and plaid shirt, and my hair is in a bob. But I'm going to my 50th high school reunion. So every graduating year over the last 50 years. Will be going to the Crestwood reunion in Peterborough, Ontario, on May 24th. And I'll tell you something, Amy Matheny, I was looking at the registration for it, thinking, why not? I'll go look at all my ex-boyfriends and point and laugh and do whatever. And so they weren't nice people. So I looked at part of the registration for, you know, for the sports or whatever, which I did every sport. It said, do you miss the adoration from the opposite sex while you're playing your favorite sport? And I'm like, Peterborough, Ontario, population, whatever, 68,000. Did you really just type that?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I have lived in Toronto for too long to even accept that people would be so, that feels so isolating to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who, like, they made a conscious effort to be heterosexist, if you will, in that moment. Yeah. Like, honestly, and I wrote a letter. I wrote a strongly worded letter, Amy, with the
letter.
Yes, I did.
Yes, woo! I did. It can't be your 50th. There's no way you're not
50th. My 50th, but the last, all graduating years in the last 50 years.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you wrote a strongly worded letter, because that's what we can do. And I continue to encourage all of the people in Illinois listening to this, especially if you have friends that are not in like the 606-640-5726 zip code. If you know people outside of the city that can write their lawmakers a strongly worded letter saying, you know, to vote for marriage equality for all people of Illinois, we can still do that. And even if you've written one 2 months ago or sent an email, do it again. You know, we just have to keep persistent and consistent with our message and our ask that these people legislate for us. They are our legislatures. They are supposed to be speaking for us as their constituents.
They work for you.
They work for us. So ask for what it is you want. And I know we have some amazing people with Lambda Legal and Freedom to Marry and so many other organizations in Springfield working for us. So if you can do anything for any of those organizations and their causes, please do post it on Facebook, Twitter, email your friends, and keep that message alive, because it matters. And I'll be so interested to hear if you get a response from your school.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well,
but I just have to say, after I'm so feeling so empowered by you, I feel like you should say, I'm Amy Matheny, and I approve this message. Like, that was really good. I love how impassioned you are, girlfriend.
All right, here I go. I'm Amy Matheny, and I approve this message.
Yeah, you do, girl.
Yeah, I do. Well, Deb Pierce, I am excited about World Pride. I'm excited about your pride in Toronto. If anybody's heading to the Toronto area this June or wants to, it's a great place to have a long weekend or spend a week. You can just see and experience so much. And we're going to be talking to you more about Toronto, I hope, in the upcoming months. And definitely as we look at World Pride a year from this June, because that's something you plan on way in advance. And I know with the gay games, people and friends, we're planning that long before the actual event. It's not really as easy to do last minute, unless you know somebody you can crash with.
Listen,
and,
for the right price, anybody can crash with me. Money talks, people.
Anybody?
Money talks.
Okay.
Yep.
Anybody? All right, great. You can charge a lot for per room, you know, as long as you figure out how to get those toilets where people can go pee. I mean,
listen,
that would probably be the only deal breaker.
That can be a deal breaker for some and time consuming for others.
And Deb, when might we see you in the States? When might we see you in Chicago?
Listen, why am I not there right now, for God's sake? I'll be there next week. I don't know when I'm coming. Well, listen, invite me. I'd love to be part of these amazing things that you have in Toronto. We have something kind of similar to that. We had Queer Idol, which has now changed to Spectra, which is a talent contest. But it's no gay. Listen, you guys know how to do it right. If you need a co-host or somebody needs a host, you know where to call.
Ooh, well, keep your phone charged up, Deb Pierce.
You got it. You got it, girl.
Deb Pierce is our correspondent from Toronto. We adore her. And when I say give love to your wife and your little boy. And we hope to have you on again really soon, hopefully during Pride for sure.
Yes, please.
So
I'll give you the beat from the street. How's that?
Ooh, I love it.
Let's do that.
I'm your on the road correspondent. On the street correspondent, Deb Pierce. Can you have like the wind blowing and like your hat almost falling off? And
the wind helicopter in the background. But I need a cool name like Christiana Amanpour. Like I need something with more syllables than Deb Pierce. I'll work on my name.
I don't know. I like Deb Pierce.
Okay, I'll stick with it. Not Philomena Palomino?
I like that more.
Okay.
If I'm just being honest.
Okay, as you should be. Amy Matheny, it's always a pleasure. And if anybody wants to know what is up in Toronto or what's up with me, they can check me out on Facebook. It's Deb Pierce, and there's usually a picture of somebody significantly younger than me, which is my son.
Excellent. We love that. And definitely start gathering information on World Pride happening in Toronto. I'll be talking with hopefully the World Pride Toronto people here in the next month, and they'll be giving us lots of details on how you can plan your trip to Toronto. But we're just so happy to just connect with Canada and our friends in Toronto with you, Deb.
Thanks, Amy.
Have a great day.
Happy Pride!
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.